Although habits are powerful, what you need is a way to remain conscious in your performance over time, so you can continue to refine and continue to improve yourself. Hey guys, welcome to today's segment episode of Conversations with Myself, and today is the last episode of this particular series, the book series. Today we're looking at the last chapter of the book that we'll be reviewing for the month, Atomic Habits, and I'm really super excited that I got to this part and got to this point. Honestly, I got tired a couple of times, but I just kept at it, and I'm really excited that the book I set out to read for the month of May, I finished it. I'm so happy. So today we're looking at the downside of creating good habits. We've been talking about building good habits, how we can develop good habits, make it easy, give rewards, and just do the 1%, 2 minutes rule and all that. It's been lovely. But now we have to understand the costs. Yes, habits have costs. Habit comes at a cost. And what is the cost? Once we start a habit, once we develop a habit, and then we start developing fluency, speed, skill, the habit becomes automatic. You become less sensitive to feedback. You fall into mindless repetitions. It becomes easier for you to let go of mistakes because you let the mistake slide. When you can do it, like when you can perform that habit without even thinking about it, when you've mastered that habit, it becomes easy to not notice that you're dwindling or you are stuck in one place. And that's the downside to habits. The upside to habits is that we can do things without thinking. The downside to habits is that you get used to doing those things in a certain way and you stop paying attention to little errors. You just assume you're getting better because you're gaining experience. You're doing something easily. It's now something that comes easy to you. In reality, you're just reinforcing your current habits, not improving them. So research has actually shown that once a skill has been mastered, there is usually a slight decline in performance over time, and this slight decline can actually cause you to ignore it. You may not even worry about it, and that way you don't even see yourself improving. So the habit becomes something that is automatic for you, because, and then you don't see yourself dwindling, you don't notice the mistakes you make. But the truth or the good side to it is that when you want to maximize your potential and achieve a maximum level of performance at whatever you do, you just need to be very conscious and deliberate and intentional about it. You can't repeat the same things blindly and expect to become exceptional. Habits are necessary but not sufficient for mastery. What is mastery? Mastery is the process of narrowing down your focus to a tiny element of success, repeating it until you have internalized that skill, and then using the new habit as a foundation to advance to the next frontier of your development. So we need our habits, but we also need deliberate practice to get to the point of mastery. Because after one habit has been mastered, you have to return to the effortful part of the work and begin building your next habits. So don't let the fact that you've mastered a habit keep you from actually doing and improving yourself. Have you ever noticed sometimes that the very habits we develop to improve ourselves can become barriers to our growth? Yeah, it happens, because initially building habits is crucial for establishing evidence of our desired identity. But however, when we become attached to this new identity, certain beliefs can hinder our progress. So we create a sense of pride that prevents us from acknowledging our weaknesses and inhibits our growth. This is something that is often found across industries and professions. For example, a school teacher who likes teaching in the traditional way, dismissing innovative approaches, or the seasoned manager who is insisting on doing things their own way and resisting new ideas, because probably they have a history of being successful at their own idea. So that's the way habits can be, or can be a hindrance to your growth. What's the solution? What is the solution? There's a suggestion by Paul Graham who says that if you keep your identity small, it means avoiding letting any single aspect of your identity dominate who you are. When a single belief defines us entirely, we become less adaptable when faced with life's challenges. Now, imagine being like identified as a security guard. Just that's all they know you for, a security guard. Or all they know you to be is a teacher. Being a teacher is what defines everything about you. When situations or unforeseen circumstances happen, and probably you leave your profession or you leave your job or you leave what everybody else know you for and you have to move to something else. Imagine a stripper, for instance, becoming a teacher. There's going to be a situation, it's going to lead to something like identity crisis. So clinging to one identity makes us brittle. It just means we are losing ourselves. It can look like that because that's not what you are known for. So that's it. How then do we redefine ourselves in this situation? Like I talked about mastery, right? We need to also be able to redefine ourselves. We can retain important aspects of our identity, right? But when our roles change, for instance, when an athlete becomes someone who is a soldier or something, when someone who was known for something changes, it should be something that is easily understandable. It should not be something that people would marvel at. You get, like, if you are good at this, when you switch roles or when you switch careers or stuff, it's something that is okay. So we should not make our whole identity about a particular aspect of our lives. So when we choose our identities effectively, we can become flexible rather than brittle. And that's really good. So explore the role identity has in growth. Explore that, and also try as much as possible to be intentional about the habits. Don't fall into the trap of repetition and lack of improvement, because redefining your identity is really important. You need to reflect, you need to review all the time, you need to reconsider, and forming new habits is just essential to building evidence of our desired identities, right? So if we become too attached to a single identity, it can hinder our growth, and we need to avoid that. So we need to avoid defining ourselves solely by one aspect of our lives, keeping our identity small, as Paul suggests, allows for flexibility and adaptation when life presents challenges. So that's that. Neglecting to review our habits, on the other hand, just leaves us unaware of our flaws. And these flaws are flaws that may even be so small that they can be easily corrected. And periodic review or reflection is good because it provides you with the ideal balance and allows you to focus on important changes without losing sight of the bigger picture. So that's it. We just need to learn to be intentional about our growth, our habit building, and be able to break beliefs that hold us back. Don't cling to one identity. Be able to navigate and adapt to changes that may occur. And that's it. So we should not have a lack of self-awareness. I want to read a quote. And this is a quote from the Tao Te Ching. Right. And it's a quote that actually covers the idea perfectly. Say, men are born soft and supple. Dead, they are stiff and hard. Plants are born tender and pliant. Dead, they are brittle and dry. Thus, whoever is stiff and inflexible is a disciple of death. Whoever is soft and yielding is a disciple of life. The hard and stiff will be broken. The soft and supple will prevail. So, our habits can be of numerous benefits to us, but the downside is that they can lock us into our previous patterns of thinking and acting. So even when the world is shifting around us, everything is so impermanent. Life is constantly changing, and we should not let our habits trap us and keep us from growing. I see this around me in churches and everywhere. The old people find it very difficult, or people different. We now have different generation segments, right? Gen Z, Gen Y, millennials, why there are a lot of them, boomers and all that. Some people find it so difficult to go with the movement or the flow or the changes around us. The world is changing, technology is changing, especially in my country, Nigeria. The school systems are refusing to adapt to the technological change. We still have teachers coming in with notebooks, reading from the notebooks and dictating in classes. These are what we are talking about. So, if life is constantly changing, it's important that you have periodic reflection, periodic check, and see if your old habits, I believe, are still serving you right. And don't just rely on what you've mastered. That's the downside of habits. Don't just rely on what the habits you've automated and that's it. You also need to improve on your habits, be intentional, and don't let one particular identity define you. You should be able to change those identities. So reflect, review, because it's important, and you need to revisit one of those important aspects of your behavior change and just find yourself, or make it easy for you to move on to developing a new habit. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you for always tuning in. Thank you for always listening to today's podcast. And you have also been reading this book with me. Thanks. But if you've not read the book and you've listened to the podcast, you get the gist. You get the gist. So you're cool. Okay, guys. Bye.